Let's start with prayer. Father, your word is clear, but we can be tempted to compromise because of life's difficulties or life's pleasures. So use Daniel's story to encourage us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. We are in chapter 1 of the book of Daniel. We're in lesson 2 of our series. This lesson is entitled Daniel and His Friends Deported to Babylon. In our first division, we see that Daniel and his friends go into captivity. In our second division, Daniel and his friends draw the line by refusing the king's food and wine. And in the third division, God gave Daniel and his friends ability and success. Nebuchadnezzar ruled all of Babylon, but he was power hungry and wanted even more, so he made an aggressive plan. The first step was to expand his territory. He invaded Israel's southern kingdom and captured everything that he found. This area was called Judah, and its capital city was Jerusalem. Now Babylon controlled Israel and its weak king named Jehoiakim. The second step was to strengthen Babylon. He removed Israel's best young men to use them in his kingdom. He planned to train them in all of Babylon's ways and to put them to work in his royal court and in his kingdom. This would strengthen Babylon and it would weaken Israel. This is where we meet Daniel and his friends. They were taken captive from Jerusalem to Babylon, more than 500 miles away. And now let's see how the king's plans were ruled and overruled by God's sovereign control and by Daniel's uncompromising faithfulness to God. In our first division, Daniel and his friends go into captivity in Babylon. The king's plan began. In verse 3 it says, "The king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. It was difficult to take a whole nation, hold them captive in your own land, and then try to control all of them. So the king wanted to train some of the Jewish captives to lead other Jewish captives. Then Babylon could control all of them. But where would they start? First, they started with outward appearances. Verse 4 says, "They took young men without physical blemish, handsome. They selected the physically attractive young men to influence and sway people by their looks and by their personalities." After all, isn't that where pagans would start? Second, they wanted to change their identities. Verse 6 says, "Among those who were chosen were Daniel and Daniel's three friends, Hanukkah, Mishael, and Ariza." These names may be unfamiliar to you because they are their Jewish names. But their names identified them with their Jewish heritage. So those names were changed by the king to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This identified them now with their pagan culture rather than their Jewish faith. But their names meant something. Those Jewish names showed their faith in God. But their new names honored pagan gods. In other words, the names favoring the true God were replaced with names representing false gods. So the plan was to change their identities, but that was not all. Third, they wanted to change their beliefs. Verse 5 says, "They were to be trained for 3 years. They wanted to train to take young men with unusual intellect and educate them. They were to learn all things Babylonian, their culture, their history, their science, their engineering, their superstitions, and their myths." Fourth, they wanted to change their lifestyle. Verse 5 says, "The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table." This was not just any food or drink. The king's table was the best in the land. This was not just eating and drinking. It was feasting on the richest foods. It was enjoying the finest wines. But why give them the best of everything? They were captives from Israel. Well, the king wanted to influence them. It was an honor to be trained as officers and trusted officials in the king's palace. But it was also a trial for them. They were to receive flashy titles in the kingdom, but there was a price to be paid for that. They were dedicated to the God of Israel. That's how they were raised. But now they would have to change something. They would have to change to Babylonian ways and to Babylonian thinking. The king wanted to transform them. So this was a crash course to transform faithful Jews into loyal Babylonians. That was the goal. For 3 years, they had Babylonian teachers that would try to brainwash them and teach them how to think like Babylonians and how to live like Babylonians. But why was this needed? Well, they were to serve the king. Verse 5 says they were to enter the king's service. They tried to change them using new names and extensive training and a tempting lifestyle. All of this was to influence them, to change their convictions and their values. The plan was really carefully conceived. They would combine their Jewish roots with the right Babylonian training to get the right pagan mindset. They were to serve the king of Babylon and forget about the king of the universe. That was the goal. This would take place the next 3 years, and then at last, they would be willing to serve the king, a pagan king, for a lifetime. They would serve him with their whole hearts. That was what the goal was. Our first principle then is God's people are to understand the mindset of the world, but not be captured or controlled by it. Now, Daniel grew up in Israel, and he knew God's promises, and he believed in them. And he wanted to put God first in his life. But now he was captured by Babylon, pagans. But he was not captured by the pagan mindset. So what captivates you? God's promises or the world's attractions? You know, a recognized name or respected education or a tempting lifestyle? Those are all attractions. Those are attractions to Daniel as well. Will you listen to Daniel's story so that you can see how to live in the world and not be controlled by it? Daniel has a lot to say about that. In our second division, Daniel and his friends draw the line by refusing the king's food and his wine. Now, Daniel refused the king. Verse 8 says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. These four young men accepted the new names, but they did not oppose the education. But when it came to changing their lifestyles, they absolutely refused it. They drew the line. Now, they could change their names and not change their hearts. They could be educated and not change their view of God. They knew who they were and what they believed. They could filter that education through those fundamental truths, and they could actually prove the educators to be wrong in view of what God's word said was right. So they could stand firmly. But when it came to their lifestyle, they had to refuse the king. You know, if they gave in to the pagan lifestyle, they would be denying God's laws, and they would be denying their identity as God's people. But why not compromise just a little bit on this? Can't we all get along here? Now, the king's food and wine were defiled. It was offered to idols before it was to be eaten. Now, the pagans would take their meals, the food and the wine that they had, and offer it to their gods. But the pagan god was an idol, and he couldn't eat it. So part of the meal went to the priests, and part of it went to the people. Then they would eat the food and drink the wine. So this eating and drinking was all connected to idolatry. and was defiled in God's eyes. And Daniel knew that. But there was more. The king's table was a social event. Now, this eating was a gluttonous feast, and this drinking was an intoxicating festival. Now, it was a major social event to be at the king's table in Babylon. It was a social event with pagan lavishness and wild drunkenness, and it was all against God's laws. It was against the simple purity that God demanded of his people. So how did God's laws protect Israel? God required separation. God had strict dietary laws to keep the Jews separated from the pagan influences. Most of the pagan lifestyle took place around feasts and festivals, but if the Jews could not consume that kind of food and wine, they could not be defiled. And God knew that. That's how God protected his people. That's how God uses his commands to protect us as well. We may not see the immediate purpose, but God has a purpose in his commands. So that is where Daniel drew the line. Daniel was bold. Did you notice that? He was bold. Verse 8 says, he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. In other words, Daniel said he could not eat this food and he could not drink that wine. He did not make excuses. Not about the seasoning or his stomach. You know, not about adjusting to this food or being on a diet. He did not say any of those things. Instead, he made his mind up to tell the truth. So Daniel said he could not eat this food or drink this wine because it would defile him. Ashpenaz understood what Daniel meant here. Daniel was not talking about something physical. He was talking about something spiritual. He said, the food and the wine will defile me because my God has told me not to do this. And I will stand on what my God says. Now, Daniel was uncompromising here. He was not ashamed of his God or his God's dietary laws. He was not ashamed of his faith in God or his obedience to him. He was not ashamed to say any of this, even to a pagan in Babylon. He said, I will not do it. Here is why I will not do it, because it will defile me. Daniel really took a risk when he said that. Now, his refusal defied the king. And the king could have had him killed for his disobedience and really any other reason that came to the king's mind. But that didn't stop Daniel. The king wanted Daniel to serve him, but Daniel chose to obey God. Daniel did not give excuses and he was not ashamed. Psalm 119 verse 46 puts it this way, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. Daniel kept it simple. Did you notice that? Vegetables fit within God's dietary laws. There were some meats that did and some meats that did not. There were certain birds that did and certain birds that did not. There was some seafood that did and some seafood that did not fit those laws. And rather than trying to juggle all of that, Daniel set a higher standard. He just stuck with vegetables and water. Have you ever done that? Have you ever set a higher standard instead of trying to juggle all of the world's attractions and draw complicated lines? Just set a higher standard, as Daniel did here. So what was the result of all of that? Well, God favored Daniel. Verse 9 says, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion on Daniel. The official was good to Daniel because God granted Daniel favor in his eyes. That's the reason. Now, Daniel came under God's protection and was showing favor here. Proverbs 16 verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Well, Daniel may have been at peace, but the chief official wasn't. The chief official was afraid. Verse 10 says, I'm afraid of my Lord the King who has assigned you food and drink. Now, he was the chief official, but if he said yes to Daniel and this diet did not work out, he would lose his job and maybe his head. So what did Daniel do? Daniel did not give up. The chief official was afraid, so Daniel spoke to the chief official's guard. In verse 12, he said, Please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. In other words, he asked to do this for just 10 days to see what would happen. Daniel had uncompromising faith, so he did not give up the first time. You know, if you give up the first time, you don't have faith like Daniel's. And you know what happened here to Daniel? The guard granted him favor. Now the outcome of this test would be in God's hands. You see, Daniel trusted God enough to put him to the test. Well, Daniel's test paid off. Verse 15 says, at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. They did not eat the royal food for 10 days. And they stuck with the vegetables and the water. And they did not suffer at all. You know, and they even benefited from it. Not because of the vegetables. So don't go out and start a vegetable diet. That's not the reason here. They benefited because of God's intervention. Everyone was blessed. The guard kept getting the rich food and the wine, and he thought that was great. Daniel and his friends, they passed the test, and they avoided the pagan lifestyle. But there's much more than this. You see, God had a greater plan in all of this. They tried to brainwash Daniel so he would want to serve the king. But Daniel was faithful to God, and God saw Daniel through this test. God overruled the king's plans to carry out God's greatest purpose for Daniel and his friends, and for the nation of Israel. So our principle number two is that the most corrupting thing in life is our lifestyle, because we fall to the level at which we live. Daniel was just a teenager. Now, he was separated from home and away from his family, but he was not separated from God. There was no one in his past to hold him accountable. Isn't that amazing? At 14 or 15 years old, with no accountability. But Daniel was thankful to God, and he did what was right without compromise, when no one was looking. So how is your lifestyle? Do you boldly say no and then clearly explain why, so people will understand who God is and what God has said? Or do you sometimes compromise and then give excuses and then fall to a lower level? That's the temptation for all of us. Do you realize that when you do that, you are falling to a lower level than God intended you to be at? Will you let Daniel convict you and then do what is right? Let him encourage you to do what is right, even when you're away from home, even when there's no accountability around you. In our third division, God gave Daniel and his friends ability and success. God blessed Daniel and his friends with learning. Verse 17 says, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. Babylon was a center of learning. It had advanced sciences. And it had all the great libraries of the world. It had the world's renowned scholars. And these guys graduated at the top of the class. But that's not all. God also blessed Daniel with tremendous insight, and you'll see that in this book of Daniel. Verse 20 says, Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. God helped them to learn it all. But God did not stop there. God gave Daniel ability to read visions and to understand them, to understand dreams. And this prepared him for the tests ahead, and for the future that God would disclose through Daniel to everyone in his lifetime and all of us that follow. You know, the king tested them then. In verse 19 it says, the king talked with them. Now they came into the king's court, and they stood before the most powerful man in the world. The king personally asked them questions. to see if they were reliable. After all, the king was going to trust their advice, and he wanted to know if he could. And their answers were the best. You know, 10 times better than anyone else's. So they entered the king's service, but that was not all. That's not where Daniel's story ends. You see, God gave Daniel lasting influence. Verse 21 says, Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel served God where he was, and he did not compromise. So God gave him, God lifted him up and gave him 70 years of service. That's what happens when you serve God where you are and you do not compromise. God can really use you. He really used Daniel. But Daniel was finally appointed the prime minister of Babylon. And at last, Daniel negotiated the release of the captives so that they could return to their land. They could return to Israel. And Israel would be a nation once more. In our third principle, it says, determine not to compromise in life and leave the results to God. Daniel had a problem. He was told to conform to a pagan world, but his heart belonged to God. So he resisted the pressure. Instead of changing, he was willing to be used to change people around him. Are you ever willing to be used? Sometimes God will let you be used in a way that you may resist, but in a way that may actually benefit everyone around you. It's okay to be used by God in that way, to change everyone around you. So do you compromise? Do you know when to say no and when to go along? I hope Daniel will help you to know when. Will you remember God's word so that you can get it right? Because that was Daniel's standard. That's what allowed him to know when to say no and when to go along. He didn't create his own standards. He relied on God's word. Daniel could have despaired. Everyone he knew was deported or had died a violent death. And now he was a captive in a foreign land. He faced a powerful king and he was just surrounded by pagans. But this amazing young man had courage. Now, Daniel did not give up. He did not give in. He trusted God to be with him, and he chose to serve God where God put him or allowed him to be. He chose to serve God no matter what happened. Father, we thank you for this encouraging story about this amazing young man who was put in a most difficult place. He was separated from everything and everyone that had value in his life, and he faced nothing but difficulties. Yet you were able to use him in a powerful way for one simple reason. He trusted you. He put his faith in you. And he was uncompromising about all of that. Lord, may this encourage us as we live our lives today. In Christ, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.